So the Creed, we've been going through the Creed, and I'm excited about just been really enjoying this as we study, as I've been studying personally through the Creed and all the different aspects of it. And we're just, like we said before, we're just going to take our time as we plod through the Creed. And there's so much richness in the Apostles' Creed that I've just been mining out. It's been so wonderful. For those of you that don't remember, just a quick review. We've been talking about the Apostles' Creed. People have been quoting the Apostles' Creed for like 1800 years. So people have been using this creed as a doctrinal statement. We said it's not in the Bible. Like, where is the Bible? What chapter and verse is the Apostles' Creed? It's not. But what it does is, just like the moon reflects the brightness of the sun, the Apostles' Creed reflects what's actually in the Word of God. So it's a great, basically a concise place where you can find the basics of our faith. This is what we are. The creed determines, like any creed, determines kind of who we are as a people, right? So you have the different military creeds, right? You have the different other creeds. They define who they are. So this creed kind of defines who we are for 1800 years. It's been doing that. So we're just joining our, 180 AD fellow believers and reciting this creed. And isn't that amazing? It's amazing. And so, we talked about God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We see God as him sitting on a throne. He is the other of others, right? God is not, we are in his image, but believe me, he is other in power and majesty and glory. And we talked about that. And we talked about last week, we started on the topic of Jesus. We talked about he's Jesus Christ, our Lord. We talked about Jesus being the Messiah that has been promised. And through the Messiah, he is King. He is King. And so we're going to dive into yet another Christmas scripture this morning. As we talk this morning, as I studied this part of the Creed, talking about being born of the Virgin Mary, there's not a lot of people who do messages on the fact of the Virgin Mary, right? And especially in Protestant circles. So as you do study, as I studied it, it was amazing how actual little, like, I actually read on the fact of the virgin birth. So we're going to dive into that this morning. This may be your first Sunday you've ever heard anybody speak on the virgin birth, devoting a whole message to this. But we're going to do that this morning, and you're going to get some revelation and some good stuff this morning, I promise you. So let's dive in. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. We're going to read this one, and then we're going to read the portion out of Luke as well. So Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18, says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about." We're reading the NIV. "His mother Mary was pledged to be married with Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not yet want to expose her to public disgrace. He had a mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Amen. Amen. Can we just honor Joseph as a man of God for this moment, in this time where all of a sudden the woman that he's pledged to be married shows up pregnant? Come on, church. Amen. Like, what is going on, right? So I'm going to be honorable. I'm going to put away secretly. I'm going to divorce her secretly, right? But God speaks to him in a dream and says, can you imagine, like, what did Joseph have to go through? Through the town and through the village. Oh, right, right. Yeah, right. Amen. So can we just stop a moment? And I mean, Mary's amazing, but Joseph, can we just honor Joseph just for a moment and go, you're a man of God, man of God, man of God. So, and then we look into Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to the town of Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. Oh, that's so good. The Lord is with you. Like, of all the people, Mary, I chose you. Of all the women on the planet, I chose you. Highly favored is an understatement. Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him a throne." Remember, we talked about that last week. "The throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." We talked about that, the Messiah aspect of this last week. He is the king. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me, may your word to me be fulfilled." And the angel left her. One of our foundational beliefs as Christian is the aspect and the truth of the virgin birth. We believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, right? That Jesus is the Son of God. When we think about that, and when you express that out outside of Christian circles, it's like we have the same response maybe as Mary. How can this be? How can this be? How can this happen, right? Many, like some people even outside the faith, like have so much trouble with it, they don't even enter into being a Christian. Like this part is like mind-blowing, right? That Mary was a virgin and gave birth to Jesus. So when we look at this scripture, with this portion of scripture, what does this say about who God is? And what does this say about God's plan for humanity? When the angel comes to Mary and says, "You're going to conceive, and this child will be born of the Holy Spirit within you." What do we see about God? What do we see? How does this actually even affect us? The virgin birth. Actually, truth be known, I was going to really just talk about Jesus in one section. And then I started studying on the virgin birth. And I went, no. Once again, slow down. The Holy Spirit said to me, slow down. Right? So the first thing that I want to talk about this morning is the truth that Jesus is deity. That Jesus is God. This virgin birth speaks to his deity. He says, we see that Jesus, we know and we say out of our own mouth that God, Jesus was all man and all God. In Isaiah chapter 6, he calls him, and then calls him in later in the Gospels, he says he is Emmanuel, God with us. That Jesus in John chapter 1 was the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. God himself dwelt among us. Paul says in Colossians that by him all things were made. Why is that important? Why is that important? Is Jesus is outside of different kind of humanity. He is a different type of human because he is fully God and fully man. He's the Word that was made flesh. Why is this important? Because when we see Jesus, when we see the person of Jesus and understand the impact of the virgin birth, when we see Jesus, we see our God. The way, like I love the way that, I can't remember who said it first. Who knows who said it first? But they talked about the idea that Jesus came in our world. Like it's almost like a human looking at ants, right? And these ants are falling, or they're walking into whatever different traps or whatever, you know, the poison that you put down, right? They're walking into it, and you're as that human, as that person outside of an ant, you say, I want to rescue these things. So what do? I become an ant. And I walk around and tell the ants the different, right? Because God became man and dwelt among us. God himself became human so he could relate to you and I. So the same temptations, the same stuff that we as humans deal with, he dealt with. Because we feel like the things that we feel as humans, Jesus felt as a human. Because God related to us and showed us himself. It's amazing. When we see Jesus, we also see that the plan of God, the kingdom of God is on full display. The kingdom of God, like it's not like this ethereal, what is the kingdom? The kingdom of God. No, when you see Jesus, you see it on full display. Everywhere he goes, he shows forgiveness, he shows healing, he shows all kind of goodness, breaking the power of the devil like we read in Acts this morning. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit with power. Went about doing good and healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil. Right? We see that on full display in the person of Jesus. Because God, Jesus is saying, look, he's either God or he's a lunatic. Because he's claiming to be God. Like if you claim to be God, well, we're going to not listen to you most of the time, right? You're a wackadoo, right? We'll call you, like, we'll put you in the David Koresh's of the world. But in a few weeks, we'll see that Jesus rises from the dead and puts an exclamation point over everything that Jesus did and everything that he said, right? So when we see Jesus, I've said it for years, I think your number one study of Scripture should be the life of Jesus. That's who we're supposed to emulate. That's what God came down and showed us who he is. Right? We talked so much about the kingdom. I want to so bad this morning, but we'll leave that for other times. Because believe me, the idea of Jesus bringing the kingdom is so in me. And that we get to carry that out through him is amazing. See, when we see Jesus, we look and we see God showing us the earth as it was intended to be. The way Jesus pushing back darkness is the way God intended it to be. Defeating the devil. Right? What it looks like when a person, like in Jesus, is totally surrendered to the will of God. Like you and I, that's possible for you and I to be surrendered to the will of God. And then another aspect of this deity of Jesus is the amazing idea, an amazing truth that God himself, listen, he decides to get down into the messiness of our lives. See, God is not scared to get his hands dirty and fix stuff in our own lives. The understanding, if we understand that God gets into the messy things of humanity, and not only that, to me personally, it shows his great compassion and his great love for us. That God loves us so much that he sent Jesus, and in Jesus, he gets his hands dirty and walks around with messy humanity. In Psalms chapter 40 and verse 1, years ago, U2 wrote a song called 40, and they just robbed it right out of Psalm 40. It's just straight from Scripture. The psalmist says this. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. Listen to this. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground. He steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. like the psalmist, we can say this about Jesus. Like this idea of that God reaches down into the mud and mire, right? The muck and the mire, as it were. You know, when I think about the term muck, the mud and mire, I think about, you know, some of these videos of these troops that are just traipsing through just the nastiness of whatever swamp that they're in, and they're just covered and they're just struggling to walk through the mud and the mire, right? I think about whenever I was a kid and it would rain and we had this guy, oh man, he hated us. So we had this guy live down the street, and in his yard, in his front yard, we're so bad. And in his front yard, when it would rain, it would create the most beautiful mud pit ever. I lost so many shoes in that mud pit. It wasn't even, you know, because you step out of it and it sticks all on you, right? And you're walking through it and you're just like, you're covered all up. And man, he would yell at us because he really liked his yard and we would destroy it. But it's not my fault. He had a beautiful mud pit in his front yard. We were kids. That's what we do, right? And so I just remember having all of that stuff on me, and that's the word picture of Jesus coming and pulling us out of the muck and the mire. Come on, guys. Didn't Jesus pull you out of the muck and the mire and wipe all of that gunk off of you and clean and put your feet on a rock that you can stand on? That's the life of Jesus, what Jesus has done for you and for me. He's made my footsteps firm because God came down and made himself a man and pulled us out, extended his hand, as it were, and pulled us out of that miry clay, right? And he made my footsteps. Like, you have your own story, right? Like, can we just not forget where God has pulled us out? Because the truth is, listen, if God can pull you out, don't you think he can pull out the person, your neighbor? Don't you think he can rescue that coworker of yours? Don't you think you can rescue that wayward son or daughter of yours? Don't you think God is big enough? Remember, God is all of his splendor. He loved you and your coworkers so much that he sent Jesus for us, because God is not afraid. Like, we need to remember he didn't have to do any of it. He didn't have to do any of it. So we read scriptures like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved us. Valentine's Day, today, right? I told Julie this morning, and you know, we're such Bible nerds and loving Jesus people so much. Like, we just like I said, you know what? We were like, oh, I love you. Happy Valentine's Day this morning. You know, happy Valentine's Day, Julie. Happy Valentine's Day. He's ready, wearing red for Valentine's Day this morning. And so she says, I go, you know what? And so we just love Jesus, like in our home, right? I go, you know what? I said, Julie, I loved you because God loved me first. Like, my ability to love other people is because God's great love for me allows me and equips me to love other people, right? Like, yeah, I don't know. That's just my worldview. That's how it flows, right? I mean, and Julie makes it really easy. She's amazing. She makes it easy to love. Duh. God sends the second person of the Godhead as a rescue mission for me, for you. Isn't that amazing? And he gives that for all of us. God, can we just like rejoice in that just for a second? And thank God for it, right? The next thing we need to do, and oh my goodness, the next thing we need to see through the virgin birth is the great lengths that God will go to see his will accomplished. Right? When we talked about last week of the promise of the Old Testament, the promise of the Messiah of the Old Testament, right? That he will be a king that sits on the throne and he will accomplish it. One of my favorite parts of Isaiah 6, it says in prophetic word, he says, And talking about Jesus coming, right? What all the things that Jesus will do, he says in a prophetic word, he says, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish it. Like, the zeal of God will accomplish this thing. It's not going to be something that he just, that this happens. No, no. It's God himself is going to make this happen. Right? So it's, so we think about the impossibility of the virgin birth, right? The how, the Mary, like, how can this be? You want me to tell you how this can be? Because the zeal of the Lord is not going to stop natural things from from hindering him from doing what he wants to do. So that's true for the Virgin Mary, and it's true for you and me today. Like, natural circumstances are not going to keep God from doing what he wants to do in your life. So if we think, we look, like I said it before, like if we see the virgin birth and we see if God can give a baby to a virgin, he can fix you and me and our mess of our life. There is nothing he can't do. Right? He said, Mary, the angel even says it, for with God, so with man, this is impossible. But for God, like, all things are possible. Right? The virgin birth requires us to suspend our natural thinking. It's the very definition of what a miracle is. And God says, I plan on doing miracles. I plan on suspending. I want you to suspend what you think is possible. And it's for it. See, it's the zeal of God that does it. It's like, you know, it's like when you, it's not just when you get that random check in the mail, or you get that all of a sudden somebody gives you some money and you go, oh, that was just God. That's amazing. And then you can, like, in your mind, you can kind of figure it out, like how it all happened. Like, oh yeah, well, this must have happened. This happened. Oh yeah, yeah. This, you know, whatever. But when you talk about the virgin birth, there's like no natural thinking of how this can happen. Do you realize, you think about it, like, I know I'm going long, but do you think about this? Like, the only person that knew for sure was Mary. The only person that absolutely knew for sure, like, Mary's like, there ain't no doubt in my mind. I don't even need a whole lot of faith to believe it, because it's happening. I know, and I know. I know that I know. Amen? Right? It was Mary. Mary knew. Right? Because it's so outside of the, not just outside of the normal, it is supernatural. The idea that if God can do that, he can do anything. So when we look at the possibilities, I want your faith to be stirred this morning for the impossible to be possible, right? When Mary was asked, how can this be? The answer was, the Holy Spirit was going to come upon you. And listen to this, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Remember, we're talking about not just God our buddy, Almighty God. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker in heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. All of that wrapped in together gives us a picture of who God is and what he wants to do in and through us, right? And it's not only, God, let me just beg you to do your word, right? Let me just get you, if I can just get you to be faithful to your promise. No, no. God says, if you just believe, like, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish it. Mary's response is, and so our response should be, let it be according to your word. Like, let that healing come according to your word. Let that deliverance come in my life, God, according to your word. Let those addictions fall according to your word, in Jesus' name. Because the zeal of the Lord will accomplish it. Could it be that we've mistaken, and we've misunderstood, even in our yes, the things come by faith, 100%. But understand, it is the pleasure and the pleasing, and do I say the zeal of the Lord that wants to accomplish it. It's not like you're prying God's hand. Just give me the blessing. Give me the miracle. Right? No, God's freely giver. Right? He freely supplies. Amen.